Hey, it's NFL draft day. What's going on, people? Lindsay can beat up a boy if she wants to, and apparently is willing. Are you willing to clock Scott Kaplan in the face? Why is Morales picking on Scott Kaplan?
I don't know, but hey, if the price is right, I think about it. Sorry, Cap.
So NFL draft day. I don't get particularly worked up over the NFL draft unless my team is picking and the Rams don't pick till tomorrow. So I'm not too worked up, but there's an interesting wrinkle that has come out, which is that
in like the last hour.
Yeah, that Aaron Rodgers is very unhappy with Green Bay and wants out. That could turn the draft upside down.
And he wants to go to San Francisco, who has the third pick in the draft, and we're going to take a quarterback. I don't know if if you study like NFL reporters who've covered this stuff from the beginning. Like here's Jason LaCanfora just tweeted, have reported extensively for months about Aaron Rodgers' mounting displeasure with the Packers and unrest about his future there as they refuse to rework his deal and seem content to rent him year to year while they develop his replacement. If you hear it put that way, no wonder Aaron Rodgers wants out. Screw the Packers. Why would he stay there under those circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, it goes beyond that, too. Jay Glazer tweets, Aaron told the Packers doesn't want to return, said, and I think it's more than a contract deal. I think he's pretty strongly convicted that he doesn't want to go back, contract aside. So it sounds like not even a contract extension would please Aaron Rodgers at this point. And the idea as a Rams fan of Aaron Rodgers joining the best division in football would be really, really a bummer for me to have Aaron Rodgers in San Francisco and have to face him twice a year.
And now Adam Schefter has retweeted what Jay Glazer – this is how weird this story is. Adam Schefter's retweeting what Jay Glazer tweeted, the one you just read, and he says this, as Jay Glazer knows, is way more about a, is about way more than a new contract. I'm not sure the Packers can just say, do nothing here. I mean, like, Seattle did nothing.
Yeah, Seattle did nothing. Houston did nothing.
Well, Houston
obviously, there's another thing going on there. There's another dynamic, yeah.
But if the face of your franchise says, I'm done with you, I want out, it becomes James Harden, doesn't it?
Does it? You know, if I'm Green Bay, and they've obviously got a development quarterback there who conceivably is not ready yet. If I'm Green Bay and I've got a team that is poised to make another Super Bowl run.
Has made the last two championship games, right? That's two NFC championship games?
I don't think I'm giving up Aaron Rodgers. Again, I think there is always a way to broker peace. Call me naive, but I think there's always a way to broker a peace between ownership, coaching, and talent.
Well, that's not true. You don't even believe that.
Sure I do.
I'm taking you back to a personal situation, but there was a time in your career where you were offered the Tom Snyder Show.
Yep.
And John Lynch, who owned our station, it's funny, John Lynch's father, who's in the middle of this
ironically,
whole thing,
it all leads back to there.
Said, absolutely not. And you said, I will never work for you again if you deny me this chance. And you staged a sick out, and you stayed off the air for 6 weeks. And finally, John Lynch relented. But there's no way, had he not relented, that you ever would have come back.
Boy, I was a cocky son of a gun, wasn't I?
Well, it worked. You played it right.
The famous conversation was John Lynch saying, let's settle this man to man. And I said, yeah, my man against your man.
Here's my agent's phone number.
Exactly. Well, I remember my agent said, tell him your teeth itch and your hair hurts. And I said exactly that to management at that station.
But my point is, had Lynch not relented, if Aaron Rodgers tells them, I'm done, I'm never coming back, they have to trade him. He can go host Jeopardy.
I wasn't that good. He was boring.
Yeah, but
boring on Jeopardy.
But they don't think that. They like him.
Yeah, I would still, I mean, why would you give up the potential to go to the Super Bowl if you're the Green Bay Packers? Get Aaron in a room and say, who do you want us to draft, dude? Who do you want? What's it going to take? Do you want us to make a draft day deal for you to get you to somebody a weapon that you can use? There's got to be a way resolve that.
If he's done, if he's had enough and he doesn't want to play there anymore, I think it becomes James Harden and you have to get him out. Do you remember James Harden just started throwing the ball to the other team?
Yes.
And then he goes to Brooklyn and now he's favored to go back to the finals. But here's the weird thing. Isn't Aaron Rodgers the reigning NFL MVP?
Was he the MVP?
Yeah.
I guess he was.
I mean, Lindsay, look that up, but I'm pretty sure Aaron Rodgers is the reigning NFL MVP.
I think he is.
I don't know if this has ever happened where the reigning MVP just said, you know what, I'm done.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I mean.
Reigning MVP, wow.
Current NFL MVP.
Right, well, and the natural move, everybody's kind of filled their quarterback slot, right? Like the Rams, according to reporting here. The Rams actually called Green Bay back in January before they made the Stafford deal and said, hey, is there anything we can do here? And Green Bay basically didn't take the call. They're like, we're not doing anything. We're not moving Aaron Rodgers. So the Rams went and got Matthew Stafford instead. Now, San Francisco clearly does need a quarterback. Conceivably, they're taking Mac Jones with the third pick in the draft tonight. And so their quarterback job is open. If you flip that third-round pick, plus a couple of first-round picks, San Francisco could probably do this deal.
Well, of course they could. And Andrew Siciliano tweeted earlier, he said, there are very few teams in the NFL. Maybe there's 32 teams, maybe six or seven, who wouldn't make an offer for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there are teams like the Rams who've already moved. There's teams like, you know, Kansas City obviously wouldn't. Wouldn't New Orleans get involved here?
New Orleans has got an open job, yeah.
The Cowboys paid Dak Prescott, so they're probably out.
Yeah.
Chargers probably out. Cardinals probably out.
Cardinals out.
But other than that, start bouncing around. Detroit's got Jared Goff. The Eagles have no quarterback. The Steelers have Big Ben, and they don't like him. Buffalo's out. Jets have nobody.
Yep.
Giants aren't sold on Danny Dimes. Redskins don't have a quarterback. Panthers just traded for Sam Darnold, but they would take Brady.
Yeah.
Dolphins don't have a quarterback.
Wait a minute. Dolphins have Tua. I still believe Tua is going to be a franchise quarterback.
But they don't believe that.
There are
people that think the Dolphins might take a quarterback tonight.
I'd be shocked if they're moving off of Tua that quickly.
Yeah, trust me, there are a lot of people that think
that's
that.
Total.
Ask Sedano, he's a Dolphins fan.
I mean, Sedano doesn't have the final word on this thing. I don't believe you blow a big pick on Tua and then don't give him a chance to develop. By the way, here's interesting. This is guys joking. Jeff tweets, breaking, he's making it up, breaking, Packers Texans agree in principle on quarterback swap. Now, I don't think Green Bay would do that.
Hey, I'm a Raiders fan. We would take Aaron. I like Derek Carr, but we would take Aaron Rodgers. That's a serious upgrade.
It is a big upgrade. Now, the only problem with Aaron Rodgers is that he's, and I know quarterbacks are lasting longer.
By the way, Denver, no quarterback.
Isn't he 38 years old?
Yeah, how did it work out when Peyton Manning got traded when he was
38? Oh, yeah, no, I mean, it can work, but
how did it work out when Tom Brady got traded when he was 41?
It can work. It can work. He sure doesn't seem...
The thing you
got to
focus on is not the age, but the fact that he's reigning NFL MVP.
But he's a win-now guy. He's not a win-in-3-years guy.
Mace, you just saw this movie. It worked in Tampa.
Yeah, one guy has
no,
beaten
No, no, no. You were at the Super Bowl that Peyton Manning won when he was over the hill.
Yeah, he was awful. They did not. They won despite Peyton Manning. He was terrible in that game. He was terrible in that postseason.
Right, but that doesn't matter. They just needed a guy who wouldn't make mistakes, and he didn't. He just didn't make a lot of great plays.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers actually, you know, wins games for you like Brady does.
It's a fair
question. Aren't Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers the same guy? At this point?
Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers is better than Tom Brady.
There you go.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is better than Tom Brady at this point.
What?
Yeah. No, don't you agree? Aaron Rodgers is better than Tom Brady right now.
From Pro Football Talk, The contract is part of the reason for Rodgers' content. I'm also told he doesn't like anyone in the front office for a variety of reasons. This is fantastic.
He's such a difficult guy. He's such a difficult guy. He's a handful to deal with. I mean, he's been griping and complaining for...
Yeah, but he's good.
For 3 years now.
Most guys who are good are a handful.
If you're the Packers, what do you do? 877-710-ESPN. I find a way to broker a peace. I find a way to get everybody into a room and say, Aaron, how do we make you happy? We are going to get this team to the Super Bowl this coming season, and you are the key to that whole thing. Ireland says, move off him right away. The moment he grumbles, you move off a guy.
Well, not the moment
Seattle
he grumbles.
Seattle still got Russell Wilson. He was grumbling.
Yeah, you notice how Russell Wilson hasn't said anything to anybody?
Yeah.
Pete Carroll's out there saying how everything is, a bucket of kittens, and Russell Wilson's not saying a word.
Yeah, it's a pail full of kittens, by the way. It's a basket full of puppies. It's a pail full of kittens.
Yeah, but aren't a bucket and a pail the same
thing?
That's the expression.
By the way, lots of ways to reach the show. You can tweet us at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L-A Ireland. You can IG me at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E. Stop. I'm going to keep saying it. And, of course, you can email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. We get lots of great emails, and we try to read some of those on the air. All right, so I wanted to play something. Lakers lose last night. Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook are just a dynamic backcourt.
Well, I've been telling you for years, Westbrook plays harder than everyone else. And I mean, he's proving it on a nicely basis. You know, everybody talks about how they have guys that give 100% or play hard. Russell Westbrook plays harder than everybody else in the league.
It must be so frustrating. He has no chance at a ring.
Not this year, but I do think they could win the play-in tournament. Miami would be the one that they would run into in the play-in tournament. But I think Miami and Washington come out of that with playoff bursts. And if let me put this out there. Brooklyn's the one right now?
Yes.
If Washington plays Brooklyn without James Harden, that's a series. I would pick Brooklyn to win it. But that's a series. It would go 6 or 7 games.
I just can't see them beating Durant.
I don't either. I can't either. But, I mean, Beal and Westbrook are a load.
Yeah, they are. They absolutely
are. And if you're a Laker fan, I think you got to – you threw out an idea yesterday, and I wonder if it's even being contemplated. I think LeBron's going to come back when he wants to come back. But what if LeBron is thinking, all right, it doesn't matter where we're seated.
Correct.
I'm going to come back for the final weekend of the year. I'll come back for the banner game on the 12th against Houston. And then there's 2 more games over the weekend. They're road games. There's a game in Indiana on the 15th and in New Orleans on the 16th. And I'll use those 3 games for a tune-up.
Yep.
And then we'll go. If that happened, I think the Lakers realistically could be in the play-in tournament, don't you?
Yes. They are 2 games away from the play-in tournament right now. 2 games up on Portland.
And they play Portland a week from tomorrow in Portland.
And here's the thing, John. I strongly believe that the Lakers, particularly without LeBron until whenever, are likely to fall to the 6. And the Clippers are pretty locked into the 3.
And, Mace, if that's the case, if I buy your premise,
yes,
aren't they better off going to the play-in tournament?
Yeah, they really are.
Wouldn't you rather play Utah or Phoenix than the Clippers?
I do not want to play the Clippers. I do not want to play them.
Not in the first round, probably.
We got
something
Kendrick Perkins said about that coming up next for you.
I would still favor the Lakers in any of those series if LeBron and AD are healthy. So they've got some decisions they can play with here.
Yeah, completely agree. 877-710-ESPN is the number. We will get some of your phone calls in here. Dodgers, big 8th inning yesterday. They snapped their losing streak. Is the offense back on track? We'll get into all that coming up for you today. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Instagram
announcement.
Lindsay, yeah. What do you hold back?
You
want to
know what it is?
Yeah,
yeah,
what
do you got?
I made a new Instagram. New IG. You can IG me, like May says.
Okay.
at Lindsay Baseball on Instagram.
Okay. At Lindsay Baseball. You can IG her.
Post a selfie right now, and you can IG me, as you would say.
Excellent. See, everybody's doing it. Ireland, you're next. People want to IG you.
I'm not. I have an IG account, but I haven't looked at it in 2 years.
Jorge, are you on the old IG?
No, gracias. I pass. No, thank you.
So we had a conversation yesterday about records, vinyl records, and I said it's just a whole bunch of crap that it sounds better than digital. I got this. I got a bunch of emails about it, but I'll read this one. Jerry Bueno, if you have a high-end turntable, a diamond needle, and a quadraphonic sound speaker set up, then play Pink Floyd The Wall album, you will see how analog sound travels further, and you will hear more highs and lows that digital audio filters rule out. Records rule if not scratched. That's what he says. I still think it's a bunch of crap. I do. I think it's a bunch
digital,
of...
Digital music sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's a this is a bunch of like hipsters and Silver Lake and Los Feliz and... Eagle Rock, I actually asked what, and I guess in Venice, which is a hipster neighborhood, the one I'm in. But I just think it's so snooty. Oh, I have it on vinyl. Oh, good for you. You have it on vinyl. I have it on my phone. I can turn it on anywhere I want.
Weren't you a DJ at some point?
I was a DJ.
Then why are you hitting on vinyl?
I was never in vinyl. I was never worked with vinyl. I had everything on what was called a cart back in the day.
Back in the eight track days?
Not the 8-track, but you know, the single track carts.
You remember with the magnet, you can delete those things? That was
yes.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you would delete them. You'd clean up those carts and you'd run them over the magnet. Yeah. But I never used records in the traditional sense. The only time I ever played vinyl, and this is actually a pretty good story. So the only time I ever played vinyl was when I was starting out. I would do the Sunday morning countdown show with Rick Dees at that point. It was with Rick Dees. And we had a little trailer. This was a little station, a trailer by some railroad tracks. And the tower was right there. It was glamorous, my glamorous days of radio. And you would play the Rick Dees countdown show. It was on a 33 album, big vinyl disc. And every time a train went by, the record would skip. And it would sometimes skip whole songs. And so I'd get phone calls like, hey, what happened to number 16? I was waiting for it. It's because the record skipped. There you go. That's that vinyl sound. That's that vinyl sound. All right, so, John, I wanted to play for you in 877-710-ESPN. You can always ring through to the show. So I wanted to bring this up. I heard Kendrick Perkins, who is a relentless fan of LeBron James and has regularly picked the Lakers to win the whole thing. I heard him say this, and it may have been on First Take. It's on one of the shows. It may have been on First Take. Here, listen to this.
Where do you rank the Clippers in the West right now?
Number one, and they're the clear-cut favorites to come out of the Western Conference. And Stephen A., you know I've been telling you this for a while. The only thing that the Clippers were missing was a floor general and a leader. And they got that in Rajon Rondo, a guy that's going to help out Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, get guys into their spots, hold guys accountable. He's a coach on and off the floor, and he's going to help out Ty Lue. And most importantly, He's going to put that key into Paul George's back.
Okay.
We won't see that same thing happen that we saw in the bubble when Paul George had that little hissy fit of a thing in the bubble. We're not going to see that this year.
Hey, listen, Perk, this is not Max Kellerman. This is Mike Wilbon. You taking up some of his time. So I got to get Mike Wilbon in here right now. Okay.
The Clippers have always sucked.
There you go. There's Charles Barkley at the end of it. He says Clippers clear-cut favorites to come out of the West, John.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, and Om Young Masuk was on the podcast, and he told an interesting story. He said that an agent told him, told Om, that even the young players in the NBA, you know, like the guys like Ja Morant, and, you know, I'm not saying Ja said this, but the guys that age, you know, Zion, Ja, the 20, 21-year-old guys.
Sure.
They feel like they can go right at Paul George.
Yeah.
That Paul George is not what us in the media have made him out to be. Just because when he gets to the postseason, he tends to hit the side of the backboard.
He withers.
Now, what Perk just said was, because Rondo's there, he won't do that anymore. I need to see it first.
Yeah, I need to see it too. I need to see Paul George play well in the postseason. And I also think there's something historically and, let's say, it's inherent that the Clippers will fail. I mean, I just feel like organizationally, and I know they've done a nice job building stuff and all that, but there's something about the Clippers as a franchise, as a brand. There's like almost like some curse on the Clippers. Do you believe there's a curse on the Clippers? They haven't gotten out of the second round of the playoffs ever.
Right. I do believe that there was a curse around the Clippers when Donald Sterling owned them.
Yeah, I
just
agree.
Think it was karma. I now think that he's gone, that there really isn't a curse per se. But I got to see him do it first. I think that, you know, everybody's saying, and I'm on this bandwagon, that it would be a bad break for the Lakers to play the Clippers in the first round because the Clippers are really good. But if they did, I would pick the Lakers.
Yeah, I'd pick the Lakers.
You know,
it'd be probably a seven-game series.
One thing that would not be great is that if Staples Center is full, if it's allowed full fans, we've seen that even when it's a Clipper home game, they'll sell their tickets to the Laker fans, and it'll be like seven Laker home games.
Yep.
So that would help the Lakers. If they meet in the first round, Mace, I don't know if we'll have full clearance. You think we will?
Let's see. We're talking about
the end of May?
End of May. You know, the all-clear date, or the date that's been signified as a date when things get a lot better, is June the 15th. So we may not. We may
not. So it would
help unless they do a vaccinated thing. Like the concert I'm going to on Sunday night at SoFi, you've got to present a card showing that you've had both your vaccinations. That's the only way you can get into the stadium.
No, you can get in if you've had a COVID test too, right?
No, I don't think so. I think it's only for vaccinated people.
So for the Laker games at Staples Center, you can get in if you've been fully vaccinated or if you have proof of a COVID test within the last 72 hours.
Yeah, at this event, at this particular concert, which is a concert to promote vaccine to help with vaccine hesitancy, they're asking for all of the fans to be vaccinated. And by the way, the concert is Selena Gomez, J-Lo, Her, Eddie Vedder, Foo Fighters. It's a pretty good show. It's a pretty good line. I'm excited to be, this will be the first thing I see at SoFi.
Yeah,
I'm excited about it. By the way, I went to dinner last night, John. Ate indoors.
And how do you feel?
It felt weird, right? After over a year of not going out to eat, but it was a great steak at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Irvine with Juan's dad.
Irvine? You never set foot in Irvine.
Yeah, we drove all the way to Irvine. You know, I love the Irvinians, John.
You hate the Irvinians. You always say it's a made-up plastic town.
It is a made-up plastic town. I do. I will go with that. All right. John, coming up next for you, I will tell you the sports in advance, okay? The question is, what sport has the smartest fans by IQ? And the sports in consideration are baseball, hockey, WWE, football, basketball, and motor racing. So I want you to think about it. When we come back, tell me who's got the best IQ.
You have definitive results of this?
I've got definitive results of this from an organization called How to Bet, which tested fans from every sport.
Okay.
So I got that coming up next for you. Plus, is flipping the middle finger an expression of free speech. It is before the Supreme Court right now. It involves a cheerleader. I want to dig into that coming up too. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, John. What sport has got the smartest fans? Lindsay, you can chime in here. So can you, Jorge. What sport has got the smartest fans? So this was a survey or a test done by an organization called YouBet. So we're just going to buy the – I have no idea if they're really great testers or whatever that is.
Okay.
But I think it's really interesting. So the study was conducted across six different sports in the U.S. And the sports, as I mentioned, are hockey, baseball, WWE, football, basketball, and motor racing. Now, the idea is, can you put them in order? Well, just the top three. What would you say the top three are in terms of IQ for its fans? Baseball, hockey, WWE, football, basketball, motor racing.
I find that having motor racing in WWE in there is weird. I think the only reason they put those sports in the survey is if they did well. Because you would think naturally, because wrestling is entertainment,
sure,
it's not actual sports competition, that those people might not be as smart. But I'm going to guess that they both did well because it's so weird that they were included. So let's try this. I'm going to try auto racing 1,
mm-hmm,
WWE 2, and baseball 3. That's my
baseball
guess.
Baseball 3. Lindsay, how about you?
I think baseball 1.
Okay.
Football 2. Hockey
football
3.
Two. Hockey 3. Okay. Jorge, do you have a guess or no?
Baseball 1, motor racing 2. What was the other one? Football?
3. Football, basketball.
Yeah, and wrestling 4.
And wrestling 4. Okay. So this is pretty amazing. WWE fans have an average IQ of 112.6, highest amongst the fan bases.
I had them number 2. They were actually number 1.
Yes. Ice hockey is a close second with a 112.3 IQ. Basketball and football, third and fourth, respectively. Baseball was fifth, and auto racing, lowest IQ. I mean, they just keep turning left. I mean, you know,
right.
There's not a lot of sophistication. So they are last amongst this group. But are you surprised that the WWE fans have the highest IQs? Michael Thompson would be thrilled by this.
No, I'm not surprised because, here's why. Do you know that now take that exact survey.
Yes.
And pretend that we're asking about the actual athletes, the participants in that sport.
Yes.
All right. Of all those sports that you mentioned, who is the least educated?
Of all those sports you mentioned, the least educated. Well, I mean,
and it's easy. By a mile.
By a mile. Football players, baseball. Baseball comes straight out of high school. Hockey. I don't know.
It's baseball. Less than 5% have college degrees. They're the least
educated. Oh, because they come out of high school,
right?
Sure.
Because they all come right out of high school. I mean, occasionally you'll get a kid like Walker Buehler that goes to college, but very rarely. So the least educated professional athletes are baseball players.
But why WWE?
But what does that have to do? Yeah, what does that have to do with the fan base?
You jabronis hit the jackpot.
Lindsay, you're a WWE fan. Do you find that everybody is really smart that follows?
No, absolutely not. I've been around some serious idiots, and I'm a WWE fan, and I consider myself to be an idiot when it comes to the actual, like, the on-air product. I mean, I don't know. I guess you could make the point that you have to be smart in a way. It depends on what this study was, because you have to be smart to follow along with the storylines and all that stuff. But at the same time, like, it's not real.
Yeah, it was
like
a four-part IQ test on 1,006 U.S. sports fans, and it tested verbal intelligence, mathematical ability, logical reasoning, and visual reasoning. And by the way, it goes a little deeper with WWE. The most intelligent WWE fans are for Roman Reigns, with an average IQ of 126.4. The second highest is Daniel Bryan, WWE champion. So the smartest of the smart WWE fans root for Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan. Are you fans of them?
Yeah, I can guarantee you the reasoning behind Roman Reigns is because they're mostly women. Women are smarter than guys.
Is that like a we got a little
Got a new drop. I got a new drop.
New drop, yeah. all right. Want to take a couple calls, John?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I was bagging on this idea of vinyl and how it's so much better, and you know, it's the richer sounds and all that stuff, and I can take my phone anywhere and I got music. Joe in L.A., you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, guys, I love your show. It's very entertaining, but I got to disagree with you on vinyl.
Okay.
Go buy Abbey Road on Master Recording or Days of Future Past or any Master Recording vinyl. Go play it on a decent stereo. And it's unbelievable. The other stuff is too compressed, man. Go watch High Fidelity with John Cusack. You know, vinyl is... They fooled us when... I'm 72 years old. They fooled us when they came out with CDs. They said it was better. It wasn't better. It was cheaper to make. You guys are too young. You don't remember, guys.
Describe why vinyl is better in terms of audio. Explain, because I listen to music on my phone. I listen to it digitally all the time. Why is vinyl different?
It's not the same on the phone, because the way they make the sound, it comes right from the, especially a master recording, when they take it off the actual tape, the original tapes, and they put it on vinyl. It's just so much of a better... Go buy Abbey Road Master Recording if you can find one.
Well, wait a minute, Joe. If I bought Abbey Road Master Recording off of iTunes,
yes,
it would still sound great.
I don't think so, buddy. Check it out.
Let me ask you one question. What neighborhood do you live in?
Talk to an audiophile. Excuse me.
Joe, are you a hipster?
I was born in the 72. I'm not a hipster. I'm an old guy that loves music. My first album was The Animals. I think I bought it in 1961.
Nice. Joe,
I still got
hey,
it.
Joe, do you have any corduroy pants?
No.
Okay.
Don't you do right. Not anymore. I wish
okay,
it.
Got
not
it. Anymore.
Okay. All right, Joe,
thank anyway,
you very
you
much for the call.
Great, but really, do the test. Do the test.
All right, we'll do the
okay,
test.
Yeah, we'll do it. I'm going to buy
love
the stereo
you
system
see
right
ya
now. Thank you, man. Love you. Yeah, I'm going to go to all this trouble. I'm going to go to Amoeba Records. I'm going to buy Abbey Road, the master version.
You don't have a
turntable. Just go listen to it in the store. They have the record players in the store.
You know what we should ask about this is Marcellus Wiley. Doesn't he own like two master turntables?
Oh, yeah, he does spin. He spins records. Yes, he does.
I mean,
he did a bunch of
kind
our parties.
Of common knowledge that the records sound better than
why?
The digital
why
recording.
Is that?
Oh, I disagree with that.
Because it's
knowledge.
Not compressed.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. I just know that the digital
okay
sounds really good.
Just
okay,
admit
hang on
that
a second.
Just like Bitcoin, it's way over your head.
Lindsay, apparently John and Ventura can explain this in more detail. John, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Yeah, hey, guys. Love the show. Mace, I'm a huge fan, both you and John. You guys are fantastic. Lindsay, too.
Thanks, man.
But I got to tell you, from a musician's standpoint, analog is a totally different experience than the digital. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because back when I was studying, going to recording school back in the mid-80s, when digital was just on the rise, CDs were coming out, all this stuff, I was learning analog recording at the time. That's what they were doing, and then they were converting it to digital.
Okay.
Now, what happens with that conversion is you're converting it from a sound that is recorded much like way back in the old days when they did stuff with just a needle and it's reproducing the sound, you're making it into numbers for digital.
Right, but
and
John,
so
isn't it, why can't if I listen to vinyl, can't I actually hear the needle and hear the background noise more than if I'm listening to digital?
Yeah, don't you get that little sizzle that's...
Oh, okay. You can, but here, listen, hear me out on this.
Okay.
Okay, not just vinyl, but the tape. When we recorded stuff on analog tape, when you were recording to 2-inch tape, okay, when 24 track, which was the standard, okay, you listen to, there's a reason why Dave Grohl bought the analog board from Sound City in Van Nuys, that studio. I recorded there. I did a record there in 1987, 88. They did the Nirvana record there, I think, in either 90 or 91. That was the last years of really people doing that analog thing.
Okay, so if we went back and got the record that you recorded in 1987, you think it would sound cleaner and better than if we bought digital off same exact album digital off of iTunes today?
Well, yeah, but it never got released.
All right.
Oh, okay.
All right. All right, John, thank you.
Thank you very much for the phone call. Maybe it's a little bit like digital projection versus film. Like, there are some filmmakers, like Christopher Nolan is one of them, who wants to see his movie shown on film as opposed to just digitally. Maybe it's something like that. I personally don't see any difference between film and digital, but there are people, kind of snooty, smart people, who see a difference. Sounds like there are some hipsters who believe vinyl's better. I hope that Amoeba Records and any other vinyl record store does really well. But I don't get the difference. All right, coming up next for you, John, is the middle finger free speech a case before the Supreme Court right now? Then we got Fast Track coming up for you at 1:55. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
She can get that many in 1 month.
What's going on, people? It's Thursday. It's NFL Draft Day. We've got complete coverage for you coming up this afternoon with Sedano, LZ, and Cap. They will walk you through the draft. Also, tomorrow you can tune in for our NFL Draft show hosted by Travis Rogers and Kirk Morrison from 9 to 11 a.m. tomorrow. So 9 a.m. tomorrow, complete breakdown of the first round of the draft with Travis Rogers and Kirk Morrison. So I'm going to save the flipping off free speech story because it's a little bit longer thing. Instead, I want to focus for a minute on John Gruden. John, head coach John Gruden is a Raiders fan.
Yeah.
So John Gruden spent a long time doing those little quarterback clinics when he was working at ESPN and talking guys
QB
up.
QB camp.
Yeah, all that stuff. So we actually, the year Johnny Manziel came out in the draft, what year do you think that was? 2017, 2016?
No, before that, 14, I think.
14, 2014.
Yeah.
John Gruden got on a number of rants during draft coverage about Johnny Manziel, and I want you to listen to this.
I like George Bush went to Manziel's pro day. I didn't see the former president at your pro day. Johnny Football will bring a buzz to Houston, and that buzz is
John,
good.
There'll be a lot of excitement.
I'll buy 2 tickets if he goes to
John,
Houston.
John, you can't overdraft. I mean, you would be overdrafting a quarterback.
I don't feel like I'm overdrafted.
Is he number one?
I'm a quarterback coach. This is what I want to mold for my future in the modern day.
He's got to be number one on your board.
Right.
He's got to be number one.
He's number one. I'd love to see him take Johnny Manziel and put him in the black hole. It just seems like a perfect launching pad for a former Texas A&M QB. But with the Raiders, you never know. When he's off the ball in a stacked position, he doesn't look like he's the same football player. I'm anxious to see what the Raiders do with Khalil Mack. I'm still shocked they didn't take a quarterback here, particularly Johnny Manziel. Everybody must know something that I don't.
Okay, so there you go. You get the idea. Now, I want to point out, John Gruden, incredibly smart guy, incredibly great talent evaluator. We also saw him do those quarterback segments on ESPN.
By the way, I don't agree with you that he's a good talent evaluator, but go ahead.
Well, he's knowledgeable. Would you fair to say that? He did all those quarterback clinics.
I think if you look at the Raiders drafts, if you look at what he got after he traded Khalil Mack, he's not good at evaluating talent.
So you're just dumb with John Gruden, aren't you?
Well, I think that, I mean, let's put it this way, Mace. There's one coach, one in the NFL who's missed the playoffs the last 3 years and still has a job, and it's John Gruden. For some reason, Mark Davis has decided to give him, he gave him that 10-year, $100 million contract.
And you were excited about it. You were all in.
Until
he traded Chucky's back.
When he traded Khalil Mack, he lost me. And I said, well, I want to see what he gets with the picks, and he hasn't gotten anything with the picks. And
so you don't see them as improving from 4-12 to 7-9 to 8-8.
He's the only coach in the NFL who's missed the playoffs for the last 3 years and still has a job.
You think he should be gone?
I don't think they can. I think he has an unfireable contract. But if they don't make the playoffs this year, I hope he retires.
Yeah, I don't think he's retiring being owed $70 million. Think about that. I'm retiring after 4 years. I'm going to give up $60 million? Hell no. Hell no. So I wanted to point out that talent evaluation at the draft is so sketch. It really is. Like, you can think somebody's going to be great, and you can believe somebody is going to be great. And I'm talking specifically now about that quarterback, those quarterbacks that could potentially go 2 and 3. I'm actually pretty comfortable with Trevor Lawrence. I think he's going to be a stud. But those other quarterbacks, crapshoot, jump ball. 5 quarterbacks in the
totally
first
agree.
Round. I bet you 3 of them are busts.
Totally agree.
And there's a good example of a guy who was at least formerly intelligent, according to John Gruden, completely missing the boat on Johnny Manziel, who is a complete and total utter disaster. I wanted to get to this, too. Can you play some Coldplay? I think we've got this. Some Coldplay. A-Rod is desperate, John.
Desperate for what?
To get back with J-Lo.
I don't blame him.
Now,
J-Lo might be the best-looking 50-year-old woman ever.
Wait, Mace,
yeah.
Do you think that maybe A-Rod will be there, like, creeping around at the concert on Sunday?
Oh,
like, watching her from afar, pining after her?
Well, they're doing – the problem is they do Sunday Night Baseball from a studio in either New York or Bristol, so I think he's booked.
Oh, right. So, he broke up – or J-Lo broke up with him because he was cheating with some reality star from some bad reality show, and he's texting with girls.
She was from Southern Charm, and it's not bad. It's just a little awful.
Yeah. So, he is – let's face it. A-Rod is a serial cheater. Reportedly cheated on his first wife, cheated at baseball, cheated on J-Lo, cheater, cheater, cheater. I think that officially means A-Rod is never coming onto the show, Lindsay.
Well, I don't think he was coming onto the show anyway.
You think what? There was one point where Lindsay said,
"You know,
don't say
I'm still working on
A-Rod's
it."
A-Rod's coming on.
I mean, I'm still working on it. I think
he's great on TV.
He's fantastic on Sunday Night Baseball. He's just a cheater.
If you don't have to worry about anyone listening to the show, it's probably A-Rod. So I don't think that really hurts our prospects of getting him as a
Got
guest.
Got it. Okay, good. Cheater, cheater, cheater. So according to Us Weekly, he flew to L.A. last week to plead with J-Lo to take him back. She heard him out, but still doesn't quite trust him, according to Us Magazine. It's getting bad. On A-Rod's Instagram, he posted an image with a big heart drawn in sand with an arrow through it, and inside the heart it says, Jennifer and Alex. And in the background, the song Fix Me by Coldplay.
This song.
Is playing over the picture, right? This picture, raise it up there, Jorge. My estimation, this is like Coldplay's coolest song, Fix Me. But hey, how does A-Rod look? Doesn't he come off looking completely desperate, particularly by doing this on social media?
What does he have to lose?
Pride.
Screw pride.
Pride is, man, are you kidding me?
He's trying to get her back.
He's groveling.
He's trying to show that he will do anything to get her back. It's not going to work, but if I'm him, why not?
He's on his knees. He's begging.
Yeah.
And J-Lo, don't take him back.
See if you can get her back and then move on. He's forlorn, Mace. You ever been forlorn?
Yes, I have been forlorn.
So he's
I have
just,
been. When and you've been dumped before, right?
Yeah, but not over anybody I really cared about.
Yeah, I got dumped by one. By a big one that was bad.
So, but if you're trying to get him, if he's trying to get her back, I think that the opposite of what you think. I think by showing that he'll do anything, publicly and privately, to get her back, I think that would score some points with her. But I don't think it's
no.
Gonna work.
He looks pathetic.
Yep.
Because now meanwhile on Instagram or you know, one IG. like May says, she's posting all of these sultry, sassy photos of herself where she's like, one of them, she's holding up the peace sign.
Well,
like
by the way,
day after her and they broke up.
J-Lo was married to somebody.
Mark Anthony.
No. She's been married four times, I think.
She was married to a dancer named Chris something.
I think Chris Judd, was he first?
I think so, yes.
Okay, and then the Ben Affleck thing was just an engagement, right?
Yeah, I don't think they ever got married.
And then she actually married Mark Anthony and had kids with him, right? And did she ever marry A-Rod?
No, they were supposed to get married last year, but then they had to postpone the wedding because of COVID, and then they just broke up.
Okay, so I think personally J-Lo is great.
Yes.
But there's got to be a reason why she's 0 for 4, right?
That's Hollywood, man. She's actually 0 for 3. She's got 3 failed marriages, 5 failed engagements, and 7 relationships. This is according to Weirdly.
Okay, wait a minute. So 3, yeah, because she was married to some other guy named Noe something.
Yeah, Noe, exactly. Oh, Johnny Noah.
Yeah, and then she was married to Chris Judd. And then she was married to Mark Anthony, but she was with P. Diddy. She was with Affleck.
That's because all these famous guys are cheaters too.
Right, but doesn't she have to assume some responsibility for what Mace? What'd you say?
Wait a minute. No, she doesn't have to assume some responsibility. The people in
losers.
Show business are dogs, and the professional athletes are dogs.
Okay, but wait a minute. 8 failed marriages or 8 failed relationships, right?
How many failed relationships do most
people
have?
What's the common denominator in those 8?
They're all cheating men, but that
doesn't mean it was always her. How many failed relationships did you have in your life, John?
Plenty, but I'm just saying I haven't had.
So 8 doesn't seem like a crazy number. I've probably had 8.
Right,
that
but
went
once,
south.
But once you committed, you don't have 8 of those. You don't have 8 like live-in partners who you've left or that have left you.
Yeah, I think never date a professional athlete. That's what I would tell women.
Well, you used to say never date anyone with a headshot, and both J-Lo and A-Rod have headshots.
J-Lo comes off great in this. A-Rod comes off just sad and pathetic.
I don't think A-Rod's going to be hurting. He just bought the Minnesota Timberwolves. I don't think
he looks like he's hurting pretty bad with that lame Coldplay post, if you ask me.
J-Lo's like Thanos or Thanos. She's got all the stones, guys.
She falls in love easily, you know?
Yeah,
that's not her fault.
And by the way, she's going to be performing Sunday night at SoFi Stadium in the big vaccine awareness concert. I'm excited about that. I get to go to that concert. Get to be John. It's a really big week. I got dinner last night out. I got baby shower on Saturday.
Have you ever attended a baby shower? Have you ever been
to a baby shower? When did baby showers have to be for guys? I thought we were scot-free on that.
We are.
I thought baby showers were a woman's thing.
We are. What guy is throwing a baby
And you're going to play the games and stuff?
I don't know. I've never been to a baby shower in my life.
Hey, man, that is send a gift and RSVP no.
That's it.
You got to play that like I played Lindsay Theory's wedding, man.
I don't even like going to baby showers.
Yeah, Juan is insisting. And then Saturday night, birthday party at a club in West Hollywood. And then Sunday, the big concert. Life is back, John.
Notice how he tried to pin the baby shower on Juan.
I swear to you, it's Juan's friend. I don't even like her.
No,
it's Juan's friend.
I actually believe that.
Yeah, I don't like those people.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah, no, they aren't on my good side. All right, coming up next for you is Fast Track, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.